Right now it is time for the Berkshire Edge on air, and that is theberkshireedge.com. We are joined by Marcy and David every week, and I do believe we have them on the line right now. Good morning.
We do.
Good morning.
All right.
We're both here. It's a soggy morning.
Indeed, it is. We were given very strict instructions not to call early.
Oh.
So.
That's right.
Children are back at school.
That's right.
That'll do it. For people who don't have children, just wait.
That's right.
Or for people who no longer have this responsibility because the children are grown, don't gloat.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was one of those empty nesters that gloated after many, 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 many years. When it became an empty nest, it was time to gloat.
All right.
Well, we'll start off with the lead story, and this is an interesting story about where several towns in Berkshire County, the way they're going to put police officers back on the street, actually doing old-fashioned policing and walking the beat.
Yeah, isn't this interesting? This is, you know, I mean, you can come to Great Barrington and see our police chief standing downtown watching what's going on.
Yeah, that's right. And he's, you know, he talks to people and people who know him pass by, like, as I do. And they're reinforcing a policy that they've had, but they're making it clear that, you know, the police officers ought to, you know, get out of their cars and just walk around down the street. And that's going on as well in Stockbridge and Lenox. So it seems to be a new refreshing version of community policing.
You know, what's interesting about this is that when I was here in Connecticut, of course, it's expensive, and a lot of towns don't do it because it's very expensive. Towns can have state police officers assigned to their town. And it's great because those police officers who work in those towns, they're called away if there's any state emergencies at all. That's their first dedication. But if there's not, they get to know the people in the town. The people in the town get to know them. But when I was growing up, and especially in Kingston, New York, when I lived in Kingston, New York, and in Glenford, I knew the sheriff of Ulster County, Tom Mayone. I knew one of the heads of the New York State Police very well, Bibbsy. They were out and about, and they were not afraid to get out and mix it up and talk and hang out with people. And Sheriff Butch Anderson, whether you like him or not, because he's a Republican in Dutchess County, is a great guy because he also gets out, and he'll talk to anybody. Anybody.
Yeah.
And I think they do it now in big cities, you know, get
There's
the emphasis back
it.
And get the police back on the street and
communicate.
And then communicate.
Then you really, basically, you know your town, you know your people, you know who's there, you know their idiosyncrasies.
Right.
And it's, I would just say not before time.
I would think it would be more interesting for the police, too.
Yeah.
You know,
Absolutely. After
all, I mean, it's nice to walk around and talk to people and to know the people in your community instead of driving around in cars looking menacing. You know, I would think that it would make their jobs more interesting and more enjoyable.
And also, I think put them more at ease in a way because you get to know the people that they're dealing with. You get to know the people like that might be a little bit of troublemakers, but they're not really bad. You get to know the real bad people, but you also show up there with the general public, which is 90% of the people that don't do things wrong.
Right.
You're there on the street, and it's reinforcement for everybody. So
they've got a relationship. The 90% of those people don't have a relationship with you, and you know they're more apt to say, "Hey, can you help me?"
Well, you know, this story includes a reproduction of a famous Norman Rockwell painting called The Runaway.
With the little kids, the little scribe being returned.
Right. He's at a food counter. Actually, it's the Elm Street store and in Stockbridge. And he's sitting there perched on his stool next to a state policeman who is talking with him, and he has his bundle that he's about to run away with dropped on the floor. And it's just a charming picture.
So your kids haven't tried to run away from home yet, huh?
Well, actually, they did. One did.
My brother did.
My youngest son, Davey, departed the backyard one day when he was like 2 years old, and he just decided to take off, and so we found him down the street. But it was kind of alarming.
When I was a kid growing up, we lived at the end of a long road. It was like a mile to get to the top of the road, so we had to get to another road. And my brother Mark threatened to run away, and my mother was really upset. My grandmother went, this is no lie, got his fishing pole, took the line off, got a little sack.
A kerchief,
put some food in it, a little bit of food, tied it up, and she gave it to him. She said, hit the road. And so he started walking up the road, and he finally got almost out of sight. My mother got in the car to go get him because he wasn't turning back.
See, your grandmother must have been my mother because we helped my brother pack. It's like, make sure he had enough thing for his stick and sent him out the door.
That's a great story, though. That's a great lead story about the police. That really is in Great Barrington,
Madison, Stockbridge. Well, how that came about was I was just walking up and down the Main Street here in Great Barrington, and I saw Bill Walsh, the police chief. And I said, what are you doing out here, you know? And he was out there every day. And he said, oh, no, we're just, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, our officers know the people in the town. So it's a great new program, and I hope they keep it up. I also have bicycle. They have policemen on a bicycle as well. So It is. I think it makes for this a kind of a more cohesive community, you know.
Yeah.
So, that's one story.
Yeah. Now, the second story is interesting because we just came through what they're saying, quote, was once in a 1,000-year storm. And now, all of a sudden, a week later, we have the strongest storm ever to form in the ocean.
Twice in 1,000 years.
Marshall,
yeah.
it's a fake storm.
Yeah, I know. It's you know, I talk about this with our meteorologist, Pat Pagano, all the time, that you can no longer deny climate change. Now, of course, social media makes us, we all know there's more tornadoes because there's more people with cameras and they film them and everything, but it's so much scientific fact that the weather, the extremes in weather now are becoming the norm.
Right.
Yeah.
And this goes to the story that you had on the review of Al Gore's An Inconvenient Sequel.
Yes, it's his sequel to An Inconvenient Truth. And the film is being shown up in Williamstown at the Images Cinema, at the invitation of the Williams College Environmental Studies Program. And on Thursday, they have two showings, and in between the movies, Elizabeth Colbert, that writer for the brilliant writer for the New Yorker and a Williams College faculty member is the author of The Sixth Extinction is going to be giving a talk about climate change and what do we call it? People are thinking that climate change is too wimpy a term, that it should be more desperate, like climate breakdown. in any case, she's going to be talking at the cinema in between the showings. So it's a really important, I think, issue that for people to consider.
You know, it's one of those things. It was at the movie house just a couple of weeks ago in one of their showings, they had lectures afterwards all week long. They had three different times they showed the film where they brought in lecturers from around. And more and more people are becoming aware of it, even though there's a ton of climate change deniers out there. These anomalies are no longer anomalies. They're becoming more and more active, and even in just regular old thunderstorms. Something was noticed around here yesterday, which has never been seen, I don't think, by many people, and that is ball lightning. Where lightning actually, it looks like a ball. It looks like a great big ball.
Uh-huh.
And several people reported that yesterday in our area. So, you know, there's definite changes. And like we say, you might want to call it something other than climate change, but it's here and it's getting worse.
Yes, definitely. Well, you know, I think that, you know, businesses, I mean, the thing that's going to save us is that many corporations around the country and around the world are now recognizing that this is serious, which is a it's surprising because, of course, you know, no one wants to acknowledge that businesses should invest. But you know, first of all, insurance companies, I'm sure, are going to become desperate when there's so much damage as a result of climate change.
You know, you don't even have to go that. You don't even have to go that far. Go to Main Street, USA, where we live. You know, it used to be it's summertime. Okay, the tourists are going to come, and the good times are going to come. Then we're going to have a slow time, and then when the snows come, the skiers will come, and everything like that.
Right.
Guess what? It's not that consistent anymore. It's just not consistent anymore.
No, I know. Right. So, the skiing isn't reliable because we've had, strange winters. Last year we had a lot of snow. The year before we had none. So
there's no consistency. You cannot plan your business around it anymore.
Right.
On that, and that's Main Street America.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely amazing.
Right.
Now, I love this next story, and that is about the STEAM summer camp.
Oh, yes. This was a collaboration between organizations. It's a rare collaboration, too. That everybody got together to do this. It's a camp for kids, mainly disadvantaged kids, in Berkshire County in Pittsfield. And it was a collaboration between the Berkshire Community College, the IS-183 Art School of the Berkshires, and Jacob's Pillow. And they brought these kids to BCC campus, and they had a camp, a learning camp, in which they did what is called STEAM-themed program. STEAM standing for science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And it was really highly, very successful, and the kids loved it. They're very interesting. The theme for this particular session of the camp was exploration of birds, and they learned all about flight and how flight occurs. And they also did created art around birds as well. And I should mention that one other organization that was involved was the Flying Deer Nature Center, which is over in New Lebanon. So it's quite interesting. And they're hoping to do it. You know, this is just the first year they're going to do it, and they're hoping to do it next year as well.
I'm just delighted the A got added to STEM.
Yes. In fact, I'm just looking at our article, David, and I realized that we did put it in. I mean, the A stands for arts, and we need to correct our report.
Well, I'm going to correct it right this second.
The mirror, isn't that that is the best part.
We left the arts out. We just did science, technology, engineering, and math, which, of course, is STEM. But the new twist on this is they brought in the arts, and if you look at the picture on our article, you'll see a young student who has made this fantastic mask of a barred owl. He's got a barred owl mask. So he's, which is really beautiful, and I hope he keeps it forever. They are bringing art into this, and they're bringing dance and movement, and so it's a real interdisciplinary summer camp, and very successful and very innovative. These are all very innovative organizations, by the way, that are participating. IS-183 is a community art school. We have regular articles about artists who are associated with IS-183. It's in Lenox, and it really reaches out into the community and tries to bring art into the community and bring kids who might be interested in art into IS-183. And, of course, Jacob's Pillow, has tremendous outreach into the community to teach kids and adults about dance and movement. They have free events all summer. Now the Pillow is turning into a year-round organization as well. So, this is very dynamic to have this group of organizations come together.
What's great about this is when I was a kid growing up, you had lots of baseball, you had lots of sports programs that led you to go into school, and you had arts in school, but that was it. But now, over the past 20, 25 years, arts has become that extracurricular activity for students and for people and for kids that aren't athletic and that maybe can't play a musical instrument, but they can create, they can draw, and now there's feeder programs that when you go that feed these young kids that by the time they get into school, grammar school and high school and beyond, they're so much more developed.
Yes, well, but of course the sad thing is that there's probably much less art in the schools than there was before, so that these programs which are outside of school are really, you know, filling a, you know, a major gap.
Because you got to balance. The same way that way, way back when if you were female, you had to learn watercolor and deportment and language but it's all parts of the brain that need to be...
Developed. And stimulated, because who knows what can flow out of it once you get started.
If you don't have it activated, it's sort of like a membership. Activate your membership.
Activate your brain.
Now my brain is activated with this next story, because I'm going to ask you two a question, because I'm not that familiar with Lee that much. But I see this story about a redevelopment plan for the old Eagle Mill, and I know where that is in Lee. Mm-hmm. 100-room hotel, affordable housing and market-rate housing, a $60 million plan. Is this economically really viable? I mean, I have to ask the question, is it economically viable?
You know, the Jeff Cohn, who's doing it, is a very smart guy. We know him. I have to believe that he's an experienced developer. He's done a lot of stuff in major markets like New York, Washington, and Philadelphia. He's been working on it for a long time. I just have to believe that he knows what he's doing. On the other hand, we have raised this question many times in The Edge about the number of hotels that are being built. We had an article a few months ago, because there's so many hotels being built in the Berkshires, and we know that the occupancy rate of hotels in the Berkshires is, across the year, about 51%. And, so we're wondering what these people know that other people don't know. But, Lee is an interesting community, because it's really been coming back lately. I remember 10 years ago, Lee was kind of,
it was a pass-through. It was a pass-through.
Yeah, it was a pass-through. Yeah. But if you drive through downtown Lee now, it's really charming. They've developed the town. The storefronts are all filled. It's an interesting mix of shops and restaurants. The town has hanging baskets with flowers all through the summer, and I think there's an increasing pride in Lee. So this is going to be something that's going to be close to downtown. Jeff is addressing a trend that people want to live downtown. The same thing is happening in Great Barrington. We have two big condo developments happening in downtown Great Barrington, one at the top of Railroad Street and then two right on Bridge Street, this powerhouse square that will have the new Berkshire Co-op Market and two buildings of high-priced condos. So, it's not just Lee where this is happening, but people are bringing hotels and residences downtown, and it seems to be something that people want. It is a huge, it's a very expensive development, however, for a little town like Lee.
Well, what's interesting is when Silo Ridge was first proposed and developed, and it's now taken 7 years where it's under construction, people were wondering, how is it going to work? Well, the million-dollar lots are selling. People like Derek Jeter, I guess, and Tom Brady have already purchased lots. And and it's going to be a very, very, very big success, and it's going to pay a lot of taxes in the into the town of Amenia. So these people who come up with these plans obviously do know in advance of us.
I mean, although, again, as we said, you know, we have looked at the hotel development in the Berkshires and thought, you know, is this sort of if we build it, they will come? Or is this just that if you're the newest, you're going to put the older one out of business, but it's, you know, is it a zero-sum game where if you win, somebody else loses? So it's hard to tell. And it hasn't played out yet, so we really don't know.
But in this case, with this Eagle Mill, you know, it's taking a property that's been, you know, derelict, and readapting it for perhaps a more, you know, an active use. And so it's a real benefit to Lee.
It's the ultimate form of recycling.
Right.
Yeah. It is recycling. That's right.
Yeah, that's
right. Exactly right. And you know, I have to say, you know, Jeff Cohen is on the board of the Community Development Corporation of South Berkshire. So, you know, he's well aware of the issues of development, of such developments and repurposing of you know, derelict structures throughout South County. So, you know, this is if this works, it's going to be a real benefit to Lee. You know, he's a smart guy, so I'm sure it's going to.
And this story has led perfectly into our last story, which is your real estate section.
That's right. I just want to put in a little plug. You know, we launched a real estate section at the beginning of July, and it has really, I mean, it's really doing well. So I want to recommend it to your readers. We call it Real Estate Friday, and we have two special features with real estate listings. We have a property of the week, and we also have something called What's on the Market, which has a different theme every week. This last week we did multifamily investment properties. This coming week we're doing houses between between 5 and 900,000. We see a huge bump in our readership every Friday morning when we put out the real estate section, but we also have good content in it. It's not just real estate listings, but we have a column called Transitions, where architects, interior designers, and landscape designers write articles about projects they've done, sites that they have, I mean, not transitions, transformations, excuse me, sites that they have transformed, and they talk about how they've done it and where they sourced their materials and, you know, what the client wanted, what they were finally able to achieve. So it's a little mini story about how a project gets done. And then we have another feature called Market Perspectives, where we look at sort of trends in real estate. And then we also like the trend now to paint your house black on the outside. we actually had two articles about this, so it's not just one person's observation, but we've had two people, one a designer and one a historian, you know, come at it from very different perspectives and talk about why people paint their houses black. And then we also have Lee Butala's regular gardening article every week. I mean, he's charming and always has an interesting take on gardening. So that's our weekly real estate.
Well, wait a minute. Don't forget that we have the weekly report of real estate sales.
Oh, of course.
And that includes Northwest Connecticut.
Right.
Readers,
you want to know what your neighbor's house sold for?
Right.
Here's
where
you find
out.
But what's absolutely wonderful is, and we've got a very short amount of time, but what's absolutely wonderful is, remember when you used to get the paper to read the real estate listings?
Oh, yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Well, we filled up our 30 minutes, folks.
We did.
Okay.
Already?
All this and more at theberkshireedge.com. And we'll speak to you guys
next week. Okay. Yeah. Bye.
TheBerkshireEdge.com on the web and The Berkshire Edge on air on Robin Hood Radio.